Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, let's go. Psalm 34. Let's look at it. All right. Psalm 34.
Huh? I was just looking at that this week.
Well, so was God. God was reading, kind of rereading it this week, I guess. Praise God. You know, reading David's Psalms, it's like reading his blog. Amen. Like David's got a blog, it's called Psalms, and you could read his blog and see how he always got out of trouble. Amen. Remind me to say that in Fort Worth, don't let me forget it.
Yeah.
God might not remind me. Anyway. So really, I mean, think about it. It's, you know, in our context, in our terms. Now, of course, nobody saw it until later. You know, maybe his wife saw it, maybe his kids saw it. But, I mean, you know, maybe he had a little guy, I'm sure, writing it. You know, I'm sure he was reciting it. Or, you know, I don't know how it got written down. They probably had a scribe of some kind. You know, they're writing down the psalm.
Probably typing on his computer.
Yeah, speaking into his iPhone.
Tweeting.
Talking to Siri. Amen. All right, so what did I say? 34? Is that what I said?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
34.
Good. Yeah. You could say 94.
It happens when you get older.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But it happens when you don't read your reference. And when you're reading these psalms, and then you begin to see how David, it's like a 30-minute episode of Andy Griffith or something. You know, they get in trouble and then they get out of trouble at the end. It's really great because he's always getting out of it at the end of it. You know, how often does anything get resolved in 30 minutes or an hour? You know, I mean, you know, Hawaii 5-0. Here's the crime. 60 minutes later, it's with commercials, it's resolved. You know, book them, Dano. And so reading these things, it's just exciting to see how fast God can resolve a problem.
Yes.
Amen? If you'll let Him. Because a lot of time we don't let God solve our problems. We're busy solving our own. Amen? We're solving our own. We're using our brains to, especially when it involves stress or distress. Amen? And stress and distress will just take up a lot of your time. I've said this before. It's like guilt. Guilt and regret will take up years, won't it?
Yeah.
Guilt and regret takes up years of time. It doesn't have to. It has to only take, can be resolved in just a few seconds. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen?
Because God has already dealt with all of your guilt. He has already, in fact, David even understood that from before the gospel. He understood that because of Father Abraham. He knew that God loved him. God came to him, even when he was reciting to Samuel about what God had done in his life to take care of to beat the lion and the bear. He said, God helped me. Isn't that true?
Yes.
And every day, I should say, God helped me. Amen?
Yeah.
Even if I have an issue that apparently, outwardly, looks like, oh, well, nothing will solve this. Or it's something that I've not dealt with. Something that has not been kind of come up before me to have to endure. Okay?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or deal with. How many know the devil will tell you, you don't deserve that? Well, you deserve death. I mean, for crying out loud. So anything that comes along that might kill you, you probably deserve that.
Yeah.
On the outward, from based on your behavior and your works and what you have earned. Amen. So what I've earned is death. The wages of sin is, but the gift of God is
eternal life
through
Jesus
Christ, our Lord. So all of these things. So, and we have all of that in you know, gospel teaching. But the problem is we don't walk in it. We don't live in it. We don't daily walk in it. Somehow or another, there's a disconnect between our experience and our faith. Amen? And what I want to talk about today is out of Psalm 34 is the connection between our experience and our faith.
Amen.
Remember that one too. Write this down.
Write this down.
The connection between our experience and our faith. Did you write that down?
The Holy
Okay, the Holy Spirit. She hadn't written a thing down. She never does anything. Trying to work this out. Anyway. So, you see, having your experience and your faith walk together. Amen?
Amen.
Because your faith is that God's delivered you from all unrighteousness. And so even though you appear to have stepped in another puddle of, for lack of a better term, of another puddle of unrighteousness, you've walked in it again. Is that God is delivering you daily. Do you believe that? Say yes.
Yeah.
Say, don't think about it. Well, I don't know. You know, when you ask people those kind of things, they go, well, I don't know. Yeah, because they're actually thinking about it. Stop thinking about it. You know, stop thinking. Don't think. Prime example. Quit thinking. Praise the Lord. Thank God for Raul coming in. Amen. Here's an example of a guy who had to stop thinking. He's always having to stop thinking.
Yeah,
he steps in a puddle of thinking. Amen.
Aren't you glad you came in?
Never come in after the sermon has started. Instant call for a illustration.
Exhibit A.
That's right. Amen. Praise God. Praise God you're the man in the family. I mean, otherwise Amen. Cynthia would get, you know, but she gets mercy and the kids will. Yeah. They'll get it later. Praise the Lord. Amen. How many know we live in a world that's fallen? Amen. How many know we live in fallen bodies? Amen. Gravity's pulling us all down in all kinds of ways.
Yep.
Imagine me. I used to be 6 feet tall.
I knew you then.
That's right. You knew me then. That's right. I used to be taller than Dan. Dan's shorter than he was. Yeah. All right. Let's look at Psalm 34. This is the beginning of this psalm. Now, some psalms, you know, David starts at Psalm 34. Some psalms, David starts out, he starts out low.
Yeah.
Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes you think he probably got started on the psalm maybe in the middle of the episode. You know, don't you get started in your prayer time if you have a prayer time? You know, people, well, your prayer time. You know, there it'll make a lot of people feel guilty right there. You know,
yeah.
Well, what about your prayer time? What prayer time? You know, is your prayer time a prayer time or is it, you know, I will pray without ceasing? Some people that pray without ceasing. Amen. I'm close to one of those. All right. Amen. I will. Everybody say, I will.
I will.
You know, some people hate it when your preacher tells them to say anything.
Oh, yeah.
So just think it. If you didn't want to say it, just think it.
Okay.
Yeah. I will.
I will.
Okay, that's the only part I want you to say. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So part of it is a declaration. The second half is the result of it. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So all times and continually, it's two phrases. It's the same thing, saying it basically twice. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, I mean, there you have it. That's your life. We can stop right there. That would be the end of the message. If somebody said, amen.
Yeah.
Okay, is that I will bless the Lord at all times. If you'll bring that up, that's one of those things I say girls should write that on their mirror and lipstick in the bathroom. Now, men usually don't have lipstick, so I guess they write it in deodorant or something.
Yeah.
Because most men don't, as far as I know.
Yeah.
So you're writing that, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth as to remind me, because my mind needs reminding. Amen? My mind needs reminding.
Yeah. Yeah. Every day.
Amen? Yeah. I need to remind myself. I need it posted. That's why God said, post these, in the Old Testament, he said, post these words, these laws on the doorposts of your house. You know, the little mezuzah. You know, they would put a scripture over here. Sorry. They'd put a, need to stay close to this microphone. They would put a scripture in a little pocket on the door of their house. They still have, they still do this in Israel. Is that they have a little, like a little,
container.
Container, thank you, on the doorpost of the house. And they put the word, there's a scripture in there. It's like what the, you remember they talked about the phylacteries, is wearing them between your eyes. So you always see it. Of course, you know, the Pharisees would walk around with one about the size of my Bible strapped to the front of your head where they couldn't even see to walk. Because, you know, they would wear this huge, you know, scripture on the front of their head. But the idea was to always have the scripture in front of your eyes. Put them on your doorposts. So everywhere you should have them on the doorposts. Certainly you have them on the doorposts of your heart. When something happens, this is what how you think. Amen?
Yeah.
This is how you think. So you don't do that. You don't eat corn about an hour after you plant it. Amen?
Right?
You don't eat fruit from a tree an hour after you plant it. How long does it take? Months, years, could take a long time. Okay? So what you're doing is you're building up continually a scriptural base or a scripture foundation, a promise foundation on the inside of your heart. David had that. I know, according to even as a child, his dad brought him up. Jesse brought him up and taught him the ways of God. He taught him the story of the family, which is our family, which is Israel. That's the story of that family. Here's our story. Amen? And that's why we raise up our kids and we teach them our story. Now the problem is they are living in a world. Of course, people have been doing that for a long time. Amen? How many know, you know, David's kids lived in the world? How many know David's kids had some problems?
Yeah.
Amen? David's kids had some problems. And, you know, all kinds of things. He's got one of them having a war against him for the kingdom. You know, all kinds of problems. All kinds of things. And so what's happening here is that we live in a world that's full of problems. We live in a world that's full of other options. Amen? That's what we do. We live in a world full of options. You know, and people, from the very beginning, every man began to do as was right in his own eyes.
Right.
Amen? I mean, that's what happened. It's very quickly, in fact, you know, of course you had the fathers who were living 900 years, you know, in a generation.
Yeah.
So you had these generations. But people, how many know, don't listen to the fathers? Old man. My gosh, who's to listen to him? He's 300 years old. I'm 10. I'm 25. Yeah, he's washed up. I mean, we think people today, 82, are washed up. You know? I mean, my goodness, imagine being 802.
Yeah,
that, you know, still walking around. Still pretty healthy. I mean, that's that good air they had back then. Amen? That's that good moist air because it hadn't rained yet. All right? So there's a bunch of rain in the air that it never rained. All right. So, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. So, what are we talking about? Is building that foundation and not being led astray by the world. Building the foundation on the inside. We do build a foundation on the inside of our kids, and sometimes they walk off, prodigal son, walk off, and, you know, I think I'll just test this whole worldly thing out and see how it goes. Of course, you know, most of the time it does not end well. Thankfully, it doesn't end well rather quickly. Amen? You know, before you're 30, certainly before you're 40, you know, you find out that, you know what? I can't quite keep this up. Can't quite keep up living for myself and living for the world and living for pleasure. Amen. It just wears a body out.
Yeah.
Amen? Living for pleasure just wears a body out. You can't afford it, neither financially nor physically, nor mentally.
Right.
Your body just doesn't do well with experimentation. God has already set in place promises. Amen? Promises have to do with how the world is designed. and what has been set in place for you. Amen? That's how it works. And so these promises, as we'll find out here in a little bit, these promises work for you and on your behalf, because these are the natural laws. These promises that God has put in the earth, these laws that He has set up, you know, like the walk light and the don't walk. Well, there's a reason for a walk and a don't walk. We're smart enough to know that. We built those, right? Mm-hmm. What's the reason for the don't walk?
Don't walk.
Why not?
Cars are coming.
What might happen? If you take your life in your hands, what might happen? Ouch. It does happen. How many of you, you know, I don't know who Jay was. He must have been the first guy to do that. You know, jaywalker. You know, whack. You know, boom, dead. You know. And you know, people have a nice service for him. And nobody mentions the fact he was too stupid not to walk across the street against the light. Amen. Well,
he was a good boy.
Well, yeah, but somebody needs to say something. And somebody needs to say something to us. Amen. And we need to walk in His promise. We need to walk in His Word. Okay. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. What is that? That is continually reminding me whose I am and who I belong to. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So my soul, that is my mind, my will, my emotions, has been already affected by that testimony that I have coming out of my mouth. Amen? My thinking is affected by my mouth. Because my mouth speaks what I think.
Yep.
Amen? My mouth, out of the abundance of the mouth, the heart speaks. Amen? That is, and that instance of the heart is what you're thinking. What you believe on a daily fundamental basis. So have you ever noticed what might come out of your mouth and how it may change as you begin to know the Lord? Is that your mouth begins to maybe curse less, swear less, justify itself less. Amen? Because you realize that, you know what, God was right and I was wrong. And not for the sake, again, of being guilty. I mean, the devil will use that too. You know, you figured out you were wrong, so he'll give you a detour of about 5 years for you to just feel bad about being wrong. Well, you know, you could spend a lot of that time worshiping God and bringing people to Jesus instead of sitting on your couch being sorry for yourself. Sorry that you didn't help God or that you didn't do what He asked you to do. Amen? So immediately get up. When he came to himself, what did the prodigal do? When he came to himself, he got up and he went home.
Yep.
Because he knew, you know, he knew the promise of God. So get up and go home. Well, I don't want to go to church. They won't accept me there. Or I don't want to, you know. Because you're afraid somebody's going to look at you and think you did wrong. Well, you know you did, so go ahead. Amen. It's okay.
Yeah.
All right? I get really the crux of the whole thing. Is just get up and rejoice and believe God. Amen. Walk in the forgiveness that God has provided immediately. Don't wait. Don't take time out. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Get up and go home. Come into my Father's house. In my Father's house are many mansions. Many places to dwell. Come on home. So my soul shall make her boast where?
In the Lord.
Not in my trouble, not in my bad behavior, but my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So immediately, my mouth is discussing and talking of what the Lord has done. Oh, magnify the Lord, and the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So my testimony is going to reach somebody who is ready to hear that message. The humble shall hear thereof, be glad. The person who's right on the edge of where I used to be, where I was, that person is going to be ready for it. Not everybody's going to be ready for it. But you know what? You don't know who your voice is going to reach. You don't know who your testimony is going to reach. Just begin to rejoice. I want everyone in here, when you have a problem, begin to rejoice. Amen. After the initial, you got 5 minutes, okay?
Right. Yeah.
You got 5 minutes, or at best a day, okay? I'll give you a day. But next morning is a new day.
Amen.
So after the one day of
whining,
upset, and, you know, granted, things happen. Ow, oh my gosh, my leg got broke. You know, you have that, I'll give you a day for it. But then, rise up. Wash your face and let somebody hear the testimony of God, because you're not privileged as a believer, as a person who has received the fullness of the holiness of the living God. You are not privileged to sit under guilt and condemnation and get and all of these whining things. You're not privileged to do that. You are in the Lord. When I say obligated, that just means that the Holy Spirit and the living God are busy rising you up to declare His goodness. Number one, that first of all, that helps you. That gets you out of the hole. Gets you out of your puddle. And it also helps that person who's humble and is ready to hear. Because they know, they heard on the news or on Facebook yesterday that you broke your leg. Or somebody... And they are waiting to hear what happens next. How does so-and-so believer, lover of Jesus, how do they handle this? They'll probably, unbelievers will give you a minute. I mean, they'll give you a few minutes. Yeah, they'll give you a day to be a Christian. Yeah, because it hurts, you know. It hurts. But they'll give you a day. So listen, I will bless the Lord. At all, how often?
All times.
His praise shall
continue.
Be in my thoughts. Oh.
Mouth.
That means it's coming out. Amen? All right. My soul shall make its boast of the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Now bring people with you. Let us exalt His name together. That's just verse 3. Now, carry on. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all my troubles. Well, first of all, he said what? Fears. I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and delivered me from all of my fears. See, His word is His promise. And He's already promised that He's delivered you from all fear. Amen? Are you delivered from fear? Yes.
Yes.
Say, don't think, just say. Say, a lot of times you won't. If you think, you won't say. Say, God's delivered me from all my fears. Go ahead.
God delivered me from all my fears.
There you go. Check it to see. If it's true. Checking on Chad. Back there. They looked to Him. To the Lord. And were enlightened. And their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried. And the Lord heard him. And saved him out of all of his troubles. Where are you saved out of your troubles? First. Where are you born again first? In your spirit, in your heart. Where does that translate to next? Your mind, will, emotions. Where does that finally translate to? Outside. Your actions, your responses. Your responses to outward stimulus or outward problems. I mean, road rage is a good example. You know, how do people respond on the road to people as they're driving around them? You know, drivers, how do believers respond to bad behavior on the road? Or bad behavior in politics? I was in a meeting the other day at a Republican club. And one guy was saying something, and he probably mentioned another guy. or mentioned his position or something, and the other guy got up out of his chair, leaning over three or four people with his fist ready to come across that aisle. Man of God. Pastor of First Baptist Arkansas. No, I'm just kidding. It was First Methodist. No, I'm just kidding. No, but he was ready to just come across the aisle. See, politics doesn't save. Amen? Anybody know that? Figure that out? Politics won't save you. And your politics won't save people either. Amen? So, I'm just giving the example that this guy's 45 years old. He's not 15. But I'm sure I'd do the same thing somewhere else. I'll do the same thing somewhere else. I'm going to be the same. But just that particular moment and that particular example. It's like, wow, really? You know, Robert's Rules of Order and everything, and we got a guy getting up, you know. That's why Robert wrote those rules. Yeah. At least try to keep that kind of stuff from happening. Because that's the way, I mean, he wrote that later. That, you know, I'm sure the First Continental Congress, they were coming over the desks. I mean, that was not some nice little deal. Anybody ever seen British House of Commons stuff on Channel 13? I mean, they got a bunch over here facing the other bunch over here. It's big, like a big long pew. It's like three or four of them. And they all sit next to each other, have a little kind of a long desk in front of each other, just these big long rows. And they're getting up and just yelling across the aisle at each other.
Yeah.
I mean, we think ours is a little ruckus. I mean, that's crazy. That's just amazing to me to see all that. And but that's what people do. And we try to have it in a generally civilized, you know, at least they don't have their swords and their guns in there, you know, hopefully. And so what we're doing is you're seeing how people are responding to things. People look and see how you respond to something. Amen? And granted, is that evil? Is that wicked? What that maybe that other person did? Yeah, but you are delivered from this world. You are no longer a part of this world. You are now a member of the kingdom of heaven. You actually are as an ambassador, somebody living in this country to represent the kingdom of heaven. It's not the issue is not your for you to behave, but the issue is for you to walk according to the Spirit and to walk in love. Did you know that you're a lover of every man? Did you know that you're a lover of every person, no matter what their circumstance and what their problem? That's who you are. So you walk in that. You say, this is who I am. I'm not the other any longer. So this is who you are. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. That could be for any situation. Could be for something happening to you. Could be for something happening out in the world. Could be something happening with respect to politics. Something with respect to sickness or disease. Something with respect to your personal family. All of these things. You are no longer what you were. Amen?
Amen.
Another example is this gal up in Kentucky who is refusing to sign marriage licenses for gay couples and homosexual couples up in Kentucky. And the news media, who know nothing about God and nothing about anything, are making great accusation about, well, she claims to be a Christian. She's been married four times. Well, yeah, but that was before she became a Christian. They don't understand the concept of transformation. They don't understand that concept. The concept is, I am changed. You shall be changed. She was changed. She is now no longer the person she was. Amen? So just to bring that particular issue is that people don't understand the transformation that takes place in a person. Amen. You have a question? Or are you just stretching? Huh?
That's a new thing. That lady, she ended up going to prison for that.
Yeah, Yeah, now she's out. But she's about to get back. So she's about to go back because she's still not doing it. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. verse 7. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him and delivers them. So the angel of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. So there is a direct result of the presence of the Lord and the angel of the Lord encamping around about you. Now you don't have an understanding of how that fundamentally will work, but all you need to know is the angel of the Lord, the servant of the Lord, the Lord's messenger encamps around about me because I fear him, because I have hold his word, his promise above every other thing in my life. Amen. I take his promise as gospel. His promise is gospel. His promise is true. No matter what I see, no matter if the news tells me the sky is red, it's not red, it's blue. Whatever God says is true.
Yeah.
Whatever somebody else says is a lie. I fear him. So in other words, he is my source of news. He is my source of truth. He is my source for everything. So therefore, he says, the angel of the Lord encamps around those that fear him and delivers them. And delivers them.
I don't feel delivered.
Well, knock it off. You know, you don't feel delivered. What did you say? Thank you. You are delivered. So, the truth, I mean, we could either believe you or we could believe God. I don't think you have much of a track record. I think he does. I think he's worthy of faith. I think he has moved us from a place of condemnation into a place of grace. And he has with him, with Jesus Christ, also given us what? Everybody say, all things. Okay. He's given me all things. So he began, and those things which he began in me, he's going to finish. He's the author and the finisher of my faith. Alright? So the angel of the Lord encamps around about them that fear him and delivers them. Now, here's an invitation, or actually a declaration. Oh, taste and see. Have you ever done that to somebody? Here, eat this. Try this. And you say, I don't eat that stuff. I don't eat that kind of thing. Well, this is the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes.
Don't like, no thanks. I don't eat shrimp. Yeah. Yeah. So God tried to hand you a piece of ham or shrimp or something, you know. You're like, no. No, I can't do that, you know. You know, you remember that happened to Paul, you know. And he just ate it, and, you know, people just, whoa, what are you doing? There's no way. Yeah. Stuff doesn't work. It's not a bother. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Well, I feel encouraged. Well, you know what? It doesn't matter how you feel. Well, I'm really feeling cursed. And I've been really feeling cursed for a long time. And I've just got to feel God has just really abandoned me. Well, read his word. He said he hasn't abandoned you. Go back to verse 1. Here's your problem. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You lost the praise of God just fell out of your mouth.
Yeah.
Amen? I mean, all of a sudden it's the praise of the world. You're praising the world. You're giving the world glory and authority in your life. I know it's all there, and It's like hard as a rock, and it's all over your flesh. I know that. It's the same here.
Yeah.
But that's not the promise. The promise is right here. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall begin continue to be in my mouth. And that's how I'm changed. I'm changed because I walk according to the promise and I don't walk according to my experience. And I'm telling you, that experience is big and it's hard and it's tough and it's 7 feet tall.
Oh.
If you're 6 feet tall, you think you might be able to beat it, but I gave up a long time ago. It ain't happening. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, you know, maybe you're big, tall, tough, and strong, and maybe you just got, maybe you're a little bitty and you got a big mouth. You know, maybe that'll stop the devil or stop the world. You know, God knows exactly how the world's built and he knows how the devil works it. And he's known it for a long time. And here's what he tells you to do. He says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continue to be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. Amen?
Yes.
And the people who are ready to hear it, the humble, that who finally got there, they're ready to hear you. They're ready to hear your testimony of your thanksgiving to God. And some other people aren't ready. That's okay. They're still getting worked on. Oh, amen. Oh, taste and see, verse 8, that the Lord is good. Just try it. Just taste. So, taste and see that the Lord is good. Come walk with me. Come walk with me and don't take the rest of your stuff with you. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For there is... Now, this is good here. For there is no want to them that fear him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. You, those who have been called by his name. For there is no want to them that fear him.
But I got lots of wants and I've been fearing him for a long time.
That sounds like you're fearing the wants that you got. Sounds to me like, you know, you're fearing your wants.
I got some wants. I got a whole list. I still want them.
And so it's not bad to want something, to desire, to have not an ungodly desire. It's not bad. It's not a problem. But to let that rule you and to believe that, let the enemy convince you that, because you didn't have that want supplied in the time frame that you were counting on it, that God somehow is against you. No, you just don't know what you don't know what you need. You don't know. You don't know what will destroy you. See, the issue here is to give all of your burdens to the Lord. Give all of them. Even the ones that he didn't do. Even the ones you didn't receive. Amen? Every day you're waking up. His mercies are new every morning. So like wake up brand new every day. Amen? It's like a resurrection from the dead. Amen? Just raise up, get up every morning, hallelujah. I mean, even the stuff that didn't get done yesterday, or even the stuff people did yesterday, even the stuff that you messed up yesterday, and is still looking at you in the face in the morning. It's a brand new day for you. Because you're born from above. Amen? This is how you walk. This is how you live. In the kingdom of heaven.
Yes.
Amen?
Yeah.
Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Did you read that? There is no want to them that fear him. I don't have any wants. Okay, boom. There it is. Well, yeah, you did. You didn't get what I heard you say. Doesn't matter what I say. I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. Now, I grant it. I know there are people who are on the street without food, without, the necessities.
Yeah.
Certainly I'm talking about us here, but there are those there. Does God see that? Yes. But are they without sin? No, or many of them in that place because of the prodigal son sitting in a pig pen. Because they decided to go their own way. What is our obligation there? Is to love, to minister, to allow the Holy Spirit to use you, but you must hear God.
Yeah.
He didn't give you, you're not Bill Gates, He didn't give you unlimited resources. You do what God, you have to hear, do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
Amen. And don't do what He doesn't tell you to do. How many know you're not the Savior?
Amen.
Feed the poor. All of them? No. The one who comes to you.
Yeah.
Hey, I need some blah blah. You know? And then he comes again the next day. Then he comes in again the next day. Well, one of these days, that kid's going to have to get a job. You know, feed the poor is just don't let them die of starvation, but also give them the wherewithal to do what God provided for them to do. What do? Give them the gospel. And then once you have done that, Jesus even talked to this a rich kid, but you know, the kid went away sorrowful because he had many possessions. How many know even poor people have many possessions? It's called pride, called entitlement. Those things that they have been used to getting all their life. And they're expecting it from you. They heard that the church is a candy wagon. You go to church, they'll just give you everything. I mean, I know I've been doing this for many, many years. I mean, go down to the church. They'll give you blah, blah. Well, it's just a way to, it's a way to make it without being responsible. Amen?
Preach.
How many of us do the same thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. The young lions do lack. Now, some people can say, okay, well, that's talking about the young princes, and the, you know, and it's been taken to talk about that. But just look at it as a young lion. What's a young lion get to? What's a young lion do? He depends upon mom to go out and get the thing, right? He depends upon mom to go out and get. In other words, young lions do lack and suffer hunger. If mom's not there, if dad's not there, I mean, they're in trouble. But they that seek the Lord. In other words, you're not like a young lion. You don't have to depend on mama. Amen? Could even be true. Even young princes. But they don't appear to lack much. But young lions could seem to lack much if their parents were dead or killed or, you know. But they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Yeah, good.
Again, you're looking from the outside, you're looking for the flesh. You could enumerate a bunch of things that didn't appear. This is the promise of the Lord. This is how I walk. This is what I walk in. Is that they that follow the Lord, they that trust the Lord, they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
Yeah,
come, children, hearken to me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This is David. This is the Lord. This is David speaking by the Holy Spirit. This is, like I said, this is blog, which is great. Is come, children, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord, that is, His word, His promises are above everything to the contrary in my experience. Amen? That's who I am. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you today.
Amen.
Father, we thank you for your promises. We thank you that every promise in Him, in Jesus Christ, is yes and amen. And Father, we delight to sing your praise. And we ask you this day, Father, to come and dwell on the inside of us and cause us daily to have the praise of God in our mouth and let his praise continue to be in my mouth. And bless him at all times, knowing that he has come to deliver us, that we walk in him, we dwell in him, and our joy is full. And that demonstration is what wins the world.
Amen.
So, Father, we give you all the praise. Thank you for ministering to this body today. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.